Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome to Extended Hands of God Highway Ministries. It's Thursday night. I'm Skip Etheridge, and tonight we have Pastor John English from Galloway Full Gospel in Springfield, Missouri. Tonight he's going to be doing a teaching about Halloween. The title is The Dark Truth About Halloween. Pastor John and I had talked about this for some time now, and I'm glad that he's took the time to dig into this and to reveal the truth about Halloween. We're going to play a song that I recorded called Wayfaring Stranger, and after that, Pastor John, it's all yours.
Sickness, no total danger. This great land to which I go, I'm going there to see the Father. I'm going there no more to roam. I'm only going, I'm going home. I know dark clouds will gather round me. I know my pathway, it's rough and steep, but beautiful fields lie just before me, where God's redeemed His vigils keep. I'm going there to see my mother. She said she'd greet me when I come. I'm only going over Jordan. I'm only going, I'm going
days. If you're blood bought, if you're a child of God, if you've placed your faith in the finished work of Christ at the cross, one of these days you're going to go home. There is a home that's waiting for us beyond this earthly realm. What a blessing it is to be reminded of that. It is good to be on the line tonight. I am thankful for the opportunity to come on a line like this and to be able to share and to have my brothers and my sisters with me on the line. Tonight we're going to be dealing with a subject that I think is very important. I'm going to try and take my time and try to get into some things tonight that I think is important for us to know, not only for the people that are on this line. I'm sure that most everybody already feels the same way that I do that's on the line tonight, but maybe more importantly, this message will be for the ones that may listen in the future. We're going to deal with the subject of Halloween. And I know that it's not quite that time yet, but it's fast approaching. Here in just a few weeks, we're going to be right in the middle of that holiday. We're going to talk about that tonight, but before we begin, I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer and just ask God's blessings upon this. Father, we thank you for your love and mercy and your grace. We thank you, Lord, for the sweet, sincere touch of your Holy Spirit. Lord, tonight I pray that you would let your anointing rest upon everything that is said. That God, your anointing would rest upon the ears of the people that would hear this message. That God, it wouldn't be John English that they hear, but that it would be the voice of the Almighty God. I pray right now that you would touch, open our eyes, give us wisdom, understanding, and even revelation. Father, for the ones that may listen in the future, I pray that God, this message would absolutely reach out and grab them, and that this message would change them. Lord, we thank you for this and give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, the holiday that we know is Halloween. I want to begin by asking, can you imagine how absurd it would be? I mean, just stop and think for a moment. Imagine how absurd, how crazy, how mind-blowing it would be if you were to catch a member of the ISIS terror group, or maybe if you would catch a member of the Taliban, if you were to catch them celebrating by force. Can you imagine how absurd that would be? If you maybe to travel over to Afghanistan and find a terrorist and look into their backyard and catch them with American flags flying all over the backyard, maybe some hamburgers and hot dogs on the grill, and playing God Bless America and a pile of fireworks just waiting to be shot off. I'm going to tell you that would be absurd. That would be crazy. Because for one of those terrorists, for one of them to celebrate July 4th would be totally contrary to everything that they've believed, everything they've been taught, everything they stood for, everything that they fight for, and even everything that they're willing to die for. It would be absolutely absurd. But can you imagine tonight the sheer insanity of the idea that a Christian would somehow believe that celebrating Halloween is all right? Because after all, we're going to get into this in a moment, but for a believer, I think that celebrating Halloween is all right, not realizing that it's absolutely contrary. Now, I want you to hear that again. It is absolutely contrary to everything written in the Word, to everything we've been taught, to everything that we believe, to everything that we stand for. and is contrary to everything that Jesus Christ died for. The truth is tonight, is even many believers today celebrate Halloween. They feel as though it's okay to celebrate the most wicked holiday of the year. And tonight in this message, I'm going to try my very best to address those that may not be saved, and also to address the believers. Because I believe this subject transcends salvation. I believe there are people that are not saved that absolutely believe that it's all right to celebrate Halloween. But I believe that there are also, sadly, many believers, people that go to church, that somehow believe it's all right. I want to begin tonight by reading to you a verse. It's found in the book of John, chapter number 10, and verse number 10. And if you've got a Bible close by, you could maybe turn there. The Bible says in John chapter number 10, verse number 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. And I want you to catch the words there in that verse that are so very, very realistic in describing the agenda of, number one, the thief, and then number two, of Christ. The thief being Satan, the Bible says very clearly that he comes, his reason is to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But that Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ, he comes to give us life, to save our life, to give us an abundant life. And these are two contrasting missions of both Satan and the Lord. I want you to understand tonight very clearly as a believer, or maybe as a non-believer if you're listening, that Satan absolutely comes to destroy. And I want you to know that this is a great and a terrible truth. This is not at all a joke. I know we sometimes, in our society, we make light of the devil. During Halloween, you will find little kids dressed up in a red outfit depicting the devil, maybe with some horns on their head and a pitchfork in their hand. It's as though we've made light of the prince of the power of the air. It's as though we've taken lightly this one that desires to bring destruction and death, the one that wants to steal our life away and destroy our future. But you and I must understand tonight that there is absolutely a very real devil, that it's not a joke, and that without a doubt he is ruthless, he is evil, he is wicked, and he is destructive beyond my ability to convey with words. What I mean by that there's not enough adjectives that I could use in the English language. I could tell you all night long. I could fill up an entire CD trying to describe to you how wicked and ruthless and evil Satan is, and I would fall short. The Bible makes it very clear that he comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but then that Jesus came to give us life. He came to save our life. He came to give us great life. His mission, the Bible says he was the Word that became flesh, and he dwelt among us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And his mission was to be born of a virgin. His mission was to embrace the cross of Calvary. His mission, driven by a great love for humanity, for everyone, was to give his life at the cross so that we could live. So Satan comes to destroy, but Jesus comes to give life. And as Satan is ruthless and wicked and destructive, Jesus is so compassionate and so merciful and so loving and so kind. And Jesus gave so much that it would fail me with words from the English language to even accurately describe the love of God manifested through Christ. So we've got two opposing forces, both with their own mission. Satan, very real. Jesus Christ, very real. And with this thought in mind, I want you now to think about Halloween. You say, well, what does Halloween have to do with Satan? What does Halloween have to do with the Lord Jesus Christ? Halloween is by far one of the largest and most celebrated holidays in all of the world. It's not a holiday that's uniquely found in the United States of America. No, this holiday is celebrated literally around the world. Every year, billions and billions of dollars are spent marketing this dark and evil holiday. Even more billions of dollars are spent every year by people participating in this holiday. All of us are familiar with the celebration. We're familiar with the costumes. I was walking through the store just this afternoon, and I went down the wrong aisle and found myself right in the middle of all of the Halloween stuff. I looked up and I saw costumes of vampires, witches, werewolves, Power Rangers, and every other thing that you could imagine. I looked over on the other side, and there were plastic knives with blood dripping off the ends of the knives. Looked down a little bit further, and there's skeletons. I looked down a little bit further, and there's tombstones. We're familiar with the costumes and the paraphernalia. We're familiar with all of the many, many, many bags of candy. We're familiar with this night that's really sold as a fun night, a night to be a little mischievous, a night that's filled with innocent fun and harmless activities. I'm going to tell you tonight that nothing could be further from the truth. You see, Halloween, however innocent they may try to make it, and however much fun a person or a child may have on that night, let me make it very clear here. Halloween is not innocent, and it's not harmless. You know, saying Halloween is innocent and harmless is It's about like saying that being eaten by a shark from the foot up isn't painful. Because without a doubt, I've never been eaten by a shark or even bitten by a shark, but I can only imagine the pain. And without a doubt, in my mind, Halloween is not innocent. As a matter of fact, Halloween is the opposite of innocent and harmless. They are absolutely, diametrically opposed. You look all the way to the left, and you can find Halloween. And you look all the way to the right, and you would find innocent and harmless. There is no middle ground. Now, to better understand, we go back and we study a little bit of the history of Halloween. And I'm not going to go too far into this. I started to dig real deep. But to be honest with you, digging very deep into this gets us really far from the Lord. Digging really deep into Halloween gets really troubling. So much so that I didn't feel as though we should cover it all. That's how dark and how sinister and how wicked it gets. But we do need to know what we're dealing with. We need to know tonight, whether you're a believer or maybe even a non-believer that practices Halloween, that celebrates that holiday, that sees it as innocent and harmless. We do need to know what we're dealing with. Now, Halloween is a celebration that began originally with the Druids. I want to say it again, the Druids, D-R-U-I-D-S. Now, the Druids were considered, they're still considered as some of the most evil, wicked, dark, paganistic, and occultic people that have ever lived. Their society was absolutely demonic. Their culture was one of great mysticism. Their culture and their society was filled with pagan and occultic practices, filled with witchcraft, sorcery, violence, sexual sins, human sacrifice, and even more. Now, I want you to now stop for a moment, and I want you to think about the foundation upon which we are about to build Halloween. You know, a house is only as good or as bad as its foundation. You can build a wonderful, big, beautiful, luxury home. But if the foundation underneath it is compromised, the entire house will be compromised. It doesn't matter what color you paint it. It doesn't matter what kind of appliances you put in the kitchen. It doesn't matter what kind of big screen TV or pictures you hang on the wall, or even how well manicured the lawn is, if the foundation is compromised, then the entire house is compromised. You see, it doesn't matter how you view Halloween. It doesn't matter how they try to sell Halloween to us. The foundation is compromised. Therefore, the entire holiday is compromised. It had its beginnings amongst the Druids. As I said a moment ago, evil, wicked, dark, paganistic, witchcraft, sorcery, violence, beyond what I'm even able to share with you on the line. It was on this day, October 31st, that these pagans, these worshipers of false gods, that they started to build a foundation. They believed that the lining between the other world and ours was thin on October 31st. And what that means is that throughout the rest of the year, there was a barrier that would hold back the dead from being able to access the living. But on this day, for many different reasons, they believed that the lining, the barrier, was thin, which would give easy access to the dead amongst the living. It meant that the dead would cross over and walk, be active, participate in the land of the living. Now, this holiday, this practice, this celebration, may be driven to celebrate the god of death. But it's the very foundation of it. It celebrated not only death, but fear. Maybe you could even say terror, darkness, pagan gods, witchcraft, and even more. Now, again, I said earlier that the foundation of the home, if it was compromised, then the entire house was compromised. And I'm laying a very, very little bit, I'm laying out very little of the real truth behind all of Halloween, but it is a foundation that's compromised from the very beginning. Can you even imagine having anything to do with anything that has its roots in that kind of behavior? I read that trick-or-treat, that's where the children go from door to door and they knock on the door and they say, trick-or-treat, and someone opens the door and hands them candy. I read that practice was originated back in those days because they believed that the ghosts or the evil spirits that crossed over from the world of the dead to the land of the living, that they would go from house to house. And that if you offered them food, if you were to have a treat for them, that they would then leave you alone. And if you didn't, then the spirits were free to terrorize you. Now, it's hard for me to really understand how that we find it acceptable, whether you're a believer or not, to allow our children to participate in something that has its roots in Satanism and wickedness like this. It's hard for me to understand. Basically, this holiday has everything to do with everything that is evil, wicked, dark, demonic, and satanic. From entertaining evil spirits of the dead, which is, by the way, absolutely contrary to Scripture, to participating in pagan and occult practices, which is absolutely contrary to the Word of God. The whole idea of wearing costumes. You know, I said today I saw witches, I saw werewolves, I saw monsters, I saw Power Rangers, I saw Disney characters. The idea behind dressing up in a costume stems from their belief that on that day, if you dressed up like one of the dead, if you dressed up like one of those evil creatures, that you would then be protected from the evil spirits that roamed in the land of the living. Because the dead would think, or the spirits or the ghosts would be able to tell the difference between the living and the dead. So the idea of trick-or-treat, the idea of dressing up, stems back to a satanic, paganistic, occultic belief system. Even the jack-o'-lantern. Now, there's a lot of research on the jack-o'-lantern, but the one that I find the most common, maybe even the most believable, is that back in the day, during that and in that area, it wasn't a pumpkin, but it was turnips. Turnips that were hollowed out, a candle, and some incense were added to the insides, and when they would light the candle and the incense, it was to ward off or to keep away the evil spirits. You see, this day, Halloween, has long been considered. And I want you to hear this. It was considered back then, it's even considered today, to be the very best day to cast spells, to speak curses, and to receive help from demonic spirits. This day is considered then and now as the most holy day by the witches, the warlocks, the pagans, the satanic worshipers, and even the child predators. And I want you to think about that. See, in Christianity, the most holy day celebrates the life of Christ, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Resurrection Day. And that's the most holy day in Christian religion. The absolute contrary to that day, the absolute opposite of that day, is the day that celebrates death, darkness, wickedness, and evil. So you could say that all the way to the right you would find Resurrection Day, and all the way to the left you would find Halloween. Totally opposite from one another. As believers, we celebrate the life and the light of Christ. But on this day, darkness and death, fear, and wickedness is celebrated. And with all of that being said, I hope that maybe you're beginning to see the reality or the foundation or even the roots of this holiday. Doesn't sound nearly as innocent as what they try to sell. With all of that being said, and there's so much more to even to be said, but like I said a moment ago, it takes us a long way from the world, from the Lord. Let me ask you tonight, how in the world could this day be considered innocent and harmless? The foundation of it, the roots of it, they're demonic. And yet I hear people say all the time, well, Brother English, it's not that big of a deal because after all, it's in how you celebrate it that matters. I got to ask you a question tonight. Whether you're a believer or a non-believer, let me ask your opinion and be honest with your answer. Years ago, they came out with these little wristbands that were very popular for quite some time, and they simply said, WWJD. Let me ask you tonight, let me ask you listening in the future, do you think Jesus would celebrate Halloween? Do you think that he would dress up in an evil costume and go door to door? Do you think he would recognize the most evil and wicked day of them all? My answer is absolutely not. And if Jesus wouldn't do it, then why in the world do we feel like we should? There's a few things I want you to understand tonight about Halloween. Number one, the author of Halloween. It may have started with the Druids, but the author of that day is none other than Satan himself. It's like if Satan were to write a book. Would you go to the bookstore and buy that book and read it? I absolutely would not. And yet he is the author of this day. The Bible says that he's the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That would tell me that whatever book he would write, whatever motion picture he would direct, whatever day he would celebrate, the design and the purpose behind it all would to be bring destruction, to kill, and to steal. I ask you tonight, if a well-known child predator was to write a book, would you go read it? Absolutely not. And yet this is a day. And the author of this very day, with every word that he speaks, with every lie that he tells, with every action that he takes, his purpose behind it all is to steal, kill, and destroy. The author of this day, Satan himself, the Bible calls him the liar, the deceiver, the murderer, the dragon, Lucifer, the devil, and by many other names, we can find this author. 1 Peter chapter number 5, verse number 8, even goes as far as to warn us that we should be sober, we should be vigilant, we should be watchful and awake, because our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now again, I say to you, he is the author of this day. Satan, the destroyer. Satan, who is enshrouded with darkness and fear, rebellion, hatred, violence, wickedness, evil, all the attributes that are totally contrary to God. You could absolutely say it all the way to the right, you would find God pure and holy and righteous and just and good and loving. All the way to the right, you would see the light. You would find faith, mercy, and grace. But all the way to the left, as far as you could absolutely go, you would find Satan. God, the author and the creator of life and light, Satan, the author of rebellion, darkness, sin, and perversion. God gave us a book. He gave us the Bible. Satan, anything that comes from him is darkness and damnation. And knowing that he is alone the author of this single day that we're dealing with tonight should give any one of us great concern. Number two, Halloween is all about the spirit realm. And I do know that there are, you know, many non-believers and even believers alike that somehow believe that the spirit realm isn't real. They somehow believe that it's fictitious. But I will tell you tonight that the spirit realm is very real. But let me say it in a better way. The spirit realm is more real than the reality that we know. You can take your hand while you're driving down that freeway and you can hold that steering wheel in your hand. Maybe you're sitting in your home with a glass of iced tea in your hand. Maybe you're walking through the mall while you're listening on your phone. The spirit realm is more real than the glass of tea that you're holding. It's more real than the steering wheel in your hand. It's more real than the road that you're driving down. It's more real than the floor that you're walking on. More real in the understanding that there's going to come a day when the glass of tea is going to be gone, the steering wheel will be turned to dust, the road in front of you will disappear, the floor you're walking on will not exist, but the spirit realm absolutely exists for all of eternity. The spirit realm is so real that we're told in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 6, verse number 12, and I want you to understand that whether you're saved or whether you're not, whether you're a believer or a non-believer, this scripture describes what you're up against. The Bible says, Ephesians 6 and 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against, listen, principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. This is a very brief description of a very real supernatural realm that we are dealing with. As a non-believer, these principalities, these powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, the spiritual wickedness in high places, as a non-believer, they are in control of your life. You say, no, I've got control of my life. No, these entities, these supernatural powers, as a non-believer, they're in control of your life. As a believer, these are the things that we fight against. It's like the ISIS fighter that has sworn allegiance to do battle against the United States of America. They are bitter and mortal enemies. You and I, as believers, these are the very things that we fight against. The spirit realm. Halloween has been authored by Satan himself. It deals with the spirit realm that is very real. As an unbeliever, which I mean by saying that, I mean you're not saved, you've not placed your faith in Christ. You are in a very dangerous place because these spirits, they are in control and they influence your life. And on Halloween, by participating and celebrating that day, you're opening yourself up even the more to demonic spirits and the practices of Satan. Satan, I remind you, comes to bring destruction. It's not a joke. It's a very real influence. And if you leave a doorway open, if you give control over to that one that will bring destruction, hear me. Your life, your family, your future, your peace of mind, your freedom will pay the price. See, as a non-believer, there is no protection. As a non-believer, you're outside the covenant relationship with God. As a non-believer, it's as though you've been left out in the wilderness. But the Bible says that Jesus came to give you life. He came to save you from that wilderness. The Bible says that Christ stands with his arms open wide and he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The spirit realm is very real. As a believer, to realize that you're playing with something, innocently or not, that God is absolutely against, should cause chills to run up and down your spine. I mean to think that as a believer we know better. As a believer we've been taught. As a believer we've been given the word. As a believer we've been adopted into the family of God. The precious blood of Jesus has been applied to our life. As a believer we've got the gift of the Holy Ghost dwelling within us. And to think that we would play with the spirit realm. Let me tell you, that's not something you want to play with. That is dangerous. And by celebrating Halloween, or even if I could go as far as to say, by watching horror movies, by involving yourself in New Age or mysticism or the occult in any way, you are opening doors that could easily give Satan access to your life, to your family's life. And what is the design and the purpose of Satan? To bring destruction. His design is to kill and to steal and destroy. He is that roaring lion, or like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And yet, we innocently or ignorantly open up the door for him and give him access. See, the Bible says we have no excuse for being ignorant. We cannot be ignorant. We cannot overlook the scheme and the plan of Satan. 2 Corinthians 2 and 11, the Bible says, "Lest Satan should get an advantage over us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." We are not to be ignorant of his devices. Because if we're ignorant, if we don't realize, if we don't know, if we don't recognize, if we don't hear a message like this and see the reality and the revelation, then Satan then enjoys an advantage over us. It's not a fair fight anymore. 1 Peter 5 and 8, as believers, we've got to be sober and vigilant. Don't be deceived. But know who you're dealing with, what you're dealing with. Know what you're up against. As believers, I have to point to you, point out to you, that you and I, that we are to be the light of this world. Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." Jesus was the light that shined into the darkness. And you and I, in Christ, have become that light to this dark and wicked world. The Bible asks a question that directly deals with Halloween or any of the other dark and wicked things that we may participate in. The Bible says in Ephesians 5 and 11, and this really is to the believer, the Bible says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. No fellowship. No fellowship. Well, Brother English was just innocent. No fellowship. Brother English, I didn't know. No fellowship. But instead of having fellowship with darkness, instead we're to reprove them. We're to cry out against them. We're to expose them. Not participate, but expose. The Bible says that a friend of the world is an enemy of God. John chapter 12, verse number 46, to the believer I say, Jesus said, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Now again, we're dealing with Halloween. We're dealing with this holiday that seems so innocent and fun, and yet we know the author. We know the foundation upon which it was built. We know where it came from. We understand that there is a very real spirit realm. And Jesus said, I came to be a light that whosoever believes in me would not abide in darkness. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse number 14, again to the believer it says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? Now you could talk about Halloween, you could talk about horror movies, you could talk about palm readers, you could talk about the horoscope or New Age or any number of things that people involve themselves with that call themselves believers. And that scripture right there, ask a pure, straight question. What fellowship does light have with darkness? Again, I've said this several times tonight, but you go all the way to the right and you find the light, but you go all the way over to the left and there's darkness. There is no middle ground. There is no communion. There's no fellowship between the two. They're absolutely contrary as much as God and Satan. Ephesians 5 and 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, or in other words, there was a time when you were in darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. 1 John 1 and 5, then this is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. I said many times before that if we try hard enough, we can justify and excuse any behavior. If you try hard enough, you can justify or excuse any behavior. That doesn't mean it's right. I believe there's many people today that don't really see the problem. They don't see what's wrong with enjoying this holiday called Halloween. They don't really see what's wrong with maybe putting in a horror flick and watching it with your wife or maybe even your children. You don't see what's wrong. It's so innocent. It's just a little bit of fun. Listen, there's nothing at all fun about fear. Bible says fear has torment. There's nothing fun at all about the wicked and the evil and the undead. There's nothing fun at all about satanic practices. There's nothing fun at all about any of that stuff. And yet for many believers, they fail to see the danger. They're ignorant of Satan's devices. They don't realize that he's the author. They don't understand the reality of the spirit realm. Tonight, or maybe in the future when you're listening to this message, I pray to God that the light of Christ would shine into your heart and that he would reveal the truth concerning this subject. Again, I say, whether it's Halloween or a horror movie or the horoscope or whatever it is, if it's contrary to God, it's darkness. It's the opposite of light. I would have to say that for every person, whether you're saved or whether you're unsaved, I would have to say after hearing this that you might think twice about celebrating Halloween. You might think twice about allowing your child to participate in something that is so symbolic of something so wicked and vile. I said in the beginning that I would address the unsaved and the saved as well. If you're not saved tonight, there is hope for you. And at the end of this message, I'm going to say a prayer, and I'm going to give you the opportunity to give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to understand, the Bible says in the book of Romans that the wages of sin is death. Apart from Christ, listen, you are in the hands of Satan. You say, Brother English, but I'm not a bad person. But Brother English, I'm not involved in all of those things. But apart from Christ, there's only two sides. Listen to me again. There's only two sides. There's no in the middle. You're either saved or you're lost. You either live for God or you live for the devil. You're either covered by the blood or you're not. You're either on your way to heaven or you're on your way to hell. There is no gray area. And as a non-believer tonight, after hearing a message like this, you've got to realize that it's very real. The reality of the darkness, the reality of the evil, the reality of the spirit realm. You've got to know in your heart right now that this is not a joke. You got to know that it's real. And I believe that even while you're listening to this, that the Holy Spirit is beginning to deal with your heart and you're beginning to understand, and the Holy Spirit is beginning to draw you. He's drawing you to Christ. There is hope for you. Satan came to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus came 2,000 years ago so that you could have life. For the believer that's listening on this line tonight or maybe even in the future that thinks it's all right to celebrate Halloween, it's not that bad, Brother English. It's innocent. It's all in how we celebrate it. I don't see it. I don't think it's that bad. The Bible says a little bit of leaven leavens the whole lump. What I'm afraid that you don't realize is that you are opening a doorway to things that are absolutely contrary to everything that God is. And when you open that doorway, understand something's going to come through. I'm sitting right now in my living room, and the back door is about 6 feet from where I'm sitting. My light is on the back porch. Now I don't want the mosquitoes and the flies and the bugs that are out there in my back. I don't want them in the house. But I promise you, if I go over there and I open that door, and if I leave it open and I come back and sit in my chair, within a few moments, all the bugs that are flying around that light in the back porch, they're going to start coming through that doorway. And before you know it, I'm going to have flies and mosquitoes, gnats, moths, whatever else is out there, it's going to be in my home. When we participate or embrace things like Halloween, horror movies, horoscopes, New Age, mysticism, when we allow our children to read Harry Potter, is anybody hearing this? Just the other day, my son brought up Netflix, and I started to surf through Netflix just to see what was there. And I would have to say that at least half, if not more, of the movies on Netflix are demonic, horror movies, violent. I mean, I can't. Our society is eat up with it. And when we participate, we walk over to the back door, we leave it open, something's going to come through that door. I challenge you as believers to hear the word of this message, to dig into the word of God, and to understand there's a standard by which we must live, and that there is no fellowship nor communion between light and darkness. Tonight, if you're a believer, after hearing this message, whether you hear it tonight or in the future, and after the convicting and power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you, I would suggest to you that you find a place to repent, that you pull over on the side of the road, that you go clean a place out in your closet, that you kneel down beside your bed, that you find a place, and that you repent before the Lord, that you ask God to forgive you, and that you determine in your heart that you're going to go in the opposite direction. I'm going to close tonight by giving everyone an opportunity to make things right with the Lord. Jesus said, I've come that you can have life. 2,000 years ago, he shed his blood at the cross. He gave his life to become the sacrifice that would pay the penalty for our sin. And by faith tonight, you can be saved. See, you don't just decide to get saved. No. No man comes to the Father lest the Spirit draws him. And I believe, and I feel this in my heart, even if you're listening in the future, if you're a non-believer, I believe you're feeling the conviction power of the Holy Spirit. What that means is the Holy Spirit's trying to bring you to Christ. That's that feeling you have in your heart. That's that uncomfortable feeling that you feel right now, a realization that you're lost without God. But Jesus Christ, hallelujah, he gave his life so that you could live. If that's you, if you're listening tonight or even in the future, I want to say a prayer with you. The Bible says if you'll confess with your mouth and if you'll believe in your heart that Jesus died and that he rose again, that you will be saved. I'm going to lead you through a prayer, and if you'll pray this prayer in faith, you'll be just as saved as anyone else. Say it with me now. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess to you that I am a sinner and that I need a Savior. I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that He died, that He shed His blood, that He paid the price for my sin, and I believe He rose again. I ask you tonight to forgive me. Forgive me of all of my sins and wash me white as snow. Come into my heart and be my Lord and be my Savior. And I will live my life for you. I thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Now tonight, if you said that prayer, they're going to have some information for you. But I want to be the first one to welcome you to the family of God. God bless you.
If you just said that prayer with Pastor John and you were sincere in your heart, we don't want to leave anyone hanging. We don't want to mislead you. You have to be sincere in your heart. You have to mean what you say. And from this point, after this prayer, there has to be change. This begins a relationship with you and Jesus Christ that you build on throughout your life. But there has to be change. You can't say this prayer half-heartedly, turn around and go living like you were yesterday. It doesn't work that way. If you've said that prayer and you meant it, I want to welcome you to the family of God. Like Pastor John said, we've got a Bible for you and some literature to help you in your new walk with the Lord. We encourage you to surround yourself with some good, solid believers. Tell someone what the Lord just done for you. We'd love to hear from you. Get yourself in a good Bible-based church. If you don't have one, we can help you find one. But maybe you didn't say the prayer tonight. You've got some questions. Maybe you've never heard this before. In either case, if you need to talk to someone, have someone pray with you, we'd love to hear from you. In either case, give us a call or a text at 816-729-6649. Or if you want to know more about us, you can go to extendedhandsofgod.org. All our contact information is there. We also can put you on a mailing list, receive some CDs on a regular basis. They're free. And we also would like to encourage you to download our free mobile app. Just go to your app store for your iPhone or your Android, search Extended Hands of God, download it. All our messages, sermons, our schedule is updated daily. And on our messages, we've made them where they're downloadable, so you can download them, share them with friends or family. Well, we just want to thank you for joining us here tonight at Extended Hands of God Highway Ministries, and God bless.